Welcome to Explorations in VOA Special English. We continue our history of the American space program with the flight of Apollo 11. Today, Shirley Griffith and Steve Ember tell how America met its goal of placing astronauts on our only natural satellite by the end of the 1960s.
20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10.
A rocket launch countdown, a common sound in the 1960s. But this was not just another launch. It was the beginning of a historic event. It was the countdown for Apollo 11, the space flight that would carry men to the first landing on the moon.
Tower clear.
Roger all.
The ground shook at Cape Kennedy, Florida, the morning of July 16, 1969. The huge Saturn V rocket moved slowly up into the sky. It rose perfectly. Someone on the launch crew spoke the words, "Good luck and Godspeed." In the spacecraft, at the top of the speeding rocket, were three American astronauts whose names soon would be known around the world: Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin, and Michael Collins. Neil Armstrong was the commander of the spacecraft. He was a test pilot. He had flown earlier on one of the two-man Gemini space flights. Armstrong was a calm person, a man who talked very little. Edwin Buzz Aldrin was pilot of the Moonlander vehicle. The astronauts gave it the name Eagle. Aldrin had flown on the last of the Gemini flights. He also was a quiet man, except when he talked about space. Michael Collins was the pilot of the command module vehicle, Columbia. He also had made a Gemini flight. He would wait in orbit around the moon while Armstrong and Aldrin landed and explored the surface. Collins was very popular and always ready with a smile.
2.5 minutes after the Apollo 11 launch, the first stage rocket separated from the spacecraft. 12 minutes later, the spacecraft reached orbit. Its speed was 29,000 kilometers an hour. Its orbit was 165 kilometers above the Earth. This was the time for the crew to test all the spacecraft systems. Everything worked perfectly. So the NASA flight director told them they were go for the moon. They fired the third stage rocket. It increased the speed of the spacecraft to 40,000 kilometers an hour. This was fast enough to escape the pull of the Earth's gravity. Apollo 11 was on its way to the moon. In 77 hours, if all went well, Apollo 11 would be there.
Halfway to the moon, the astronauts broadcast a color television program to Earth. The broadcast showed how the astronauts lived on the spacecraft. It showed their instruments, food storage, and details of how they moved and worked without gravity to give them weight. The television broadcast also showed the Earth behind Apollo 11. and it showed the moon growing larger in the blackness ahead. As hours passed, the pull of the moon's gravity grew stronger. Near the moon, the astronauts fired rockets to slow the spacecraft enough to put it into moon orbit.
Apollo 11 circled the moon while the crew prepared for the landing. Finally, spacecraft commander Armstrong and NASA flight controllers agreed it was time to separate the lander module Eagle from the command module Columbia. Armstrong and Aldrin moved through the small opening between the two spacecraft. Then they moved Eagle away from Columbia. Armstrong reported, "The Eagle has wings." The lunar module was ready. Men were about to land on the moon. On Earth, all activity seemed to stop. President Richard Nixon gave federal government workers the day off to watch the moon landing on television. Around the world, 500 million people watched the television report. Countless millions more listened on their radios.
Armstrong and Aldrin fired the lander rocket engine. The firing slowed the spacecraft and sent it down toward the landing place. It was in an area known as the Sea of Tranquility. The lunar lander, controlled by a computer, dropped toward the airless surface of the moon. 140 meters from the surface, the astronauts took control of the lander from the computer. They moved Eagle forward, away from a very rocky area that might have caused a difficult landing. The voices of Aldrin and Armstrong could be heard in short messages.
Forward. Forward. Set. 40 feet down, 2.5. Picking up some dust. 30 feet, 2.5 down. Great shadow. 4 forward. 4 forward, drifting to the right a little. 1.5.
30 seconds.
Forward, just. Set. Ready. Backlight. Okay, engine stop.
Armstrong reported.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
NASA's plan had called for the astronauts to test instruments, eat, and then rest for 4 hours before leaving the Eagle. But Armstrong and Aldrin asked to cancel the 4-hour sleep period. They wanted to go out onto the moon as soon as they could get ready. NASA controllers agreed. It took the astronauts more than 3 hours to complete the preparations for leaving the lander. It was difficult, in Eagle's small space, to get into spacesuits that would protect them on the moon's surface.
Finally, Armstrong and Aldrin were ready. They opened the door. Armstrong went out first and moved slowly down the ladder. At 2 hours 56 Greenwich Mean Time on July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong put his foot on the moon.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
The world could see the history-making event on television. But the man who was closest to what was happening, Michael Collins, could only listen. He was orbiting the moon in the command module Columbia. It did not have a television receiver.
Armstrong moved carefully away from the Eagle. He left the cold black shadow of the lander and stepped into the blinding white light of the sun. On Earth, all was quiet. No sound came from televisions or radios. no one felt able to talk about what was happening. Armstrong began to describe what he saw. "The surface appears to be very, very fine grain, like a powder. I can kick it loosely with my toes. I can see footprints of my boots in the small, fine particles. No trouble to walk around."
Aldrin appeared on the ladder. Down he came, very slowly. Soon, both men were busy placing experiments to be left behind on the moon. They collected more than 30 kilograms of rock and soil to take back to Earth. They moved easily and quickly, because the moon's gravity is 6 times less than Earth's. Hours passed. Too soon, it was time to return to the Eagle. Armstrong and Aldrin re-entered the lander. They rested for a while. Then they began to prepare to launch the lander for the return flight to the orbiting command module.
Listeners on Earth heard the countdown from Tranquility Base. 3, 2, 1. First stage engine on ascent. Proceed. Beautiful. 26. 36 feet per second up. Very smooth, very quiet ride. Eagle was flying. Man had been on the moon for 21.5 hours. Eagle moved into the orbit of the command module. It connected with Columbia. Armstrong and Aldrin rejoined Collins in the command ship. They separated from Eagle and said goodbye to it. The lander had done its job well.
Eight days after it started its voyage to the moon, Apollo 11 splashed down in the Pacific Ocean. Left behind on the moon were the footprints of Armstrong and Aldrin, an American flag, and scientific equipment. Also left forever on the moon is a sign with these words: "Here men from the planet Earth first set foot on the moon, July 1969 AD. We came in peace for all mankind."
Our program was written by Marilyn Rice Cristiano. Shirley Griffith and Steve Ember were our announcers. I'm Mario Ritter. Join us again next week when we continue the story of the Apollo spaceflight program on Explorations.